the more I have failed, actually, the more I've learned to love it and appreciate it, right? Like all my cake recipes, because I've just done it through trial and error, have come from fails.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. When my first kid, Miles, turned one, I had a big birthday party for him. We invited family, friends, and neighbors into our little tiny condo to celebrate this bright-eyed, happy social kid. I was really excited. I wanted to bake like a big cake. I overshot, I think. I was overconfident in my skills. I didn't let the cake cool enough. I know now that I should have done a crumb layer, refrigerated it, then finished the icing, but I didn't know then, and I was in a hurry, so I put a big glob of frosting on the cake. As I spread it, I took a big chunk off the top of a corner. I tried to gently put it back in place, but it made it worse. I actually just spread the chunk into crumbs all over the top of the cake. I looked at it, and I thought, ooh, well, I'm not making a new cake. There's no time. I have to make do. I stared at the corner and thought, there is no way to fix this. And for sure, it's noticeable. It looks like somebody took a big bite out of the corner. Well, there's more to that story, and I'll come back to it later, but I share this story because I know all too well that not every baking adventure is going to turn out well. We are going to fail at baking at one time or another, and in life. It's a metaphor. A lot of things can feel like a failure to us, even if they don't look like a failure to anyone else. Sometimes it's a mistake of our own making, a setback that's out of our control, a heavy choice made by someone we love, a physical or emotional struggle that shuts us down, or even just an expectation that goes up in smoke. Failure comes in all shapes and sizes. But the one thing that all of these have in common is that we tend to see them as a bad thing, as evidence of something gone wrong and a plan going belly up. Well, today we're hoping to change that mindset. We're going to talk about how failure isn't the absence of success, but how it is actually an essential ingredient of success and how to embrace it in our lives. Today, I have my friend Courtney Rich of Cake by Courtney on the show to not only talk about cake, but about her experience with failure and why it's the very thing that has helped her become a wildly successful internet baking sensation. Here's Courtney.
I'm Courtney Rich. I also will answer to Cake By, or the full Cake By Courtney, Weston's mom, Avery's mom.
You know, I love it. You've got all the names.
All the different hats. So, yeah, I think I am known for cake. And so I will get the, are you the cake lady? And, oh, you're Cake By Courtney, you know, and
yeah.
You do the cakes.
And your recipes are legit. This is not like a plug or anything. This is just me sharing my life here.
Thank you.
I use your recipes. Like the best chocolate cake.
Thank you.
And let me tell you, I take my chocolate cake very seriously. You have several versions of chocolate cake.
I do.
It depends on which one I'm in the mood for. And I appreciate that attention to detail.
I appreciate you noticing that there are several different kinds.
Totally. So
I love this.
I wasn't going to ask you this, but now I have to. What is your most used cake recipe for you personally? Which is the one that you come back to all the time?
Chocolate, some form of chocolate, because my husband and my son and even my daughter. That's just our go-to.
It's probably like the ultimate cake, the ultimate chocolate cake.
Yes, classic, the chocolate cake with the chocolate buttercream is to die for. Or salted caramel buttercream or peanut butter buttercream. Or you just put it with anything. And the s'mores cake itself, that one I think Weston's had for several birthdays with. And that one's, have you made that one
I
yet?
Have not made the s'mores one.
Okay, put that one on your list.
No, I'm feel going like to because I'm thinking, oh, my kids would
you're advanced
that.
Now. You, yeah. If you're doing some of these other cakes.
I can follow some directions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That too. I love it.
Courtney is the queen of cake, but that's not where she thought she'd end up. Not even close. In fact, Courtney always planned to be a broadcast journalist.
I would go to this television stations with my dad and my mom, and I honestly, from a young age, that I wanted to be in those buildings. And I would say to my friends when I was in elementary school, I'm going to have a corner office. I'm going to be doing this and this. All my internships were in television. I wanted to be on air. I loved it. I felt comfortable, always have. As I started getting closer to graduating, I kind of learned about media consulting. And I learned what it was, and I fell in love with that. Cake was a total happy accident. Kate came out of nowhere. And that's always kind of, I don't know, the best part of these stories when you hear how people ended up. Because you're like, you type A personality, you're like, no, this is my plan. Here's how it's going to go. I have every step mapped out. And that was me.
Yeah.
And then I love that the Lord is like, not really, you know, but he doesn't tell you flat out.
I think we've learned a lesson from Courtney already, and that is that success doesn't always follow our blueprint. We can plan things out until they look just right, but sometimes God's plan is very different. Courtney thought professional success would come in the form of being a broadcast journalist. Instead, it came in the form of a peanut butter and chocolate birthday cake.
I made my first cake from scratch for Weston's first birthday. And First cake ever. I grew up baking with my mom. She taught me pie. I don't like pie, but she taught me pie growing up. I know, right? And cookies and brownies and lemon bars. Never did a homemade cake growing up with her. So Weston's first birthday comes around and I think, okay, homemade cake could be really fun. One, I've never done it. And two, probably the biggest reason I did it was to impress my in-laws. So Ryan's parents are really good cooks. They're a little bit more gourmet. My mom's a great cook. Mom, I love you so much. You're an amazing cook. They're just like that next level. And I would say, how can I help? How can I help in the kitchen? And I joke with them. I'm like, for 4 years, you guys had me fill cups with ice and pick cilantro leaves off the stems and chop herbs. And they laugh. And I'm like, I'm not even exaggerating on that. And so for me, I was like, I'm going to show them. I'm ready. Put me in, coach.
I'll show them.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I had no knowledge of how to make a cake from scratch, not the right tools. And I had a mixer that I got for my wedding that I had never used, a KitchenAid. So I pull it out. I grab the recipe. It was a peanut butter cake with chocolate buttercream. And I'm like, this is what I'm doing. And I just went for it. And I remember putting Weston down for a nap and going into the kitchen and starting on it. And I'm like, hey, this is really fun. And I just felt happy. And then serving the cake at his party, it was so fun to watch people eat it. And I'm like, wow, I feel so happy.
That first cake changed everything for Courtney, but not just professionally. It was also a turning point in her struggle with depression and anxiety.
This is all while I am kind of silently struggling with depression and anxiety, and something that was not made aware to the people in my life. I was first diagnosed with depression at 19. It was after my parents got divorced. Thought maybe that was just situational. It wasn't. It became a shadow of darkness that clouded my life in so many ways. And at the time, it's very different now, which I'm so grateful that it's different now. People didn't talk about it. And I didn't feel safe talking about it because I just didn't know how people would respond. And I had many of nights waking up and going into my kitchen or my closet, Ryan asleep, not even knowing what's happening, right? And just tears and panic attacks and anxiety. And then, okay, I'm going to brush it off and get on to the next day. And I would try certain medication and talking to people. And it was just this roller coaster for 2 decades, right? And, you know, when you're going through those kind of things and any kind of trial or challenge or mental health issue, there's an emptiness, even though there's so much goodness around you, and you have a lot of wonderful things filling your cup, even though there's all these great blessings. As you're going through those trials, there's still this kind of this achy emptiness, and I was feeling that. And as I started working on cake just for fun, like even after that one day, I was like, well, that just made me feel happy, so I want to do it again. And I would just follow that feeling back into the kitchen for the next 6 or 7 years.
If you've ever had depression or anxiety, you know that emptiness that Courtney was talking about. It can feel a lot like engine failure on your car. You want to get back on the road, but your mechanism just won't cooperate. When that happened, Courtney leaned into what she knew would make her feel a little better, and that was baking. In an episode on success and failure, this may be the most important life lesson you'll hear today. Success can just be showing up. For Courtney, it was stepping into that kitchen with the hope that baking a cake could get her through the day. Success wasn't really about how the cake tasted. Success was putting the apron on in the first place. Now, lest you think that baking was a breeze for Courtney, it wasn't. I mean, baking isn't easy, folks. May I direct your attention to Lisa Clark's Exhibit A at the beginning of the episode? Also, we wouldn't have multiple social media accounts dedicated to cake disasters if everything was always smooth sailing in the kitchen. but it was all of her sunken and dry and unimpressive bakes that paved the way to Courtney's success.
I just was doing it as a total hobby because it made me happy, and I was learning along the way and teaching myself, had a lot of fails along the way. And the more I have failed, actually, the more I've learned to love it and appreciate it, right? Like all my cake recipes, because I've just done it through trial and error, have come from fails, right? Learning those lessons,
yeah.
Right? Learning and teaching myself about, well, gosh, I used more baking powder in that one, but if I tried it with baking soda, oh, that's going to change because of the acidity of the buttermilk, right? And I'm researching and learning. I go back and I redo the recipe and I'm like, oh, well, now it worked. But I wouldn't have learned why it would work or change, right? If I didn't have that failed moment, right? And there's just so much growth.
It's interesting that Courtney says baking made her happy because she also says that she failed a lot in the kitchen. That might sound like a paradox to most of us, but it's something we need to understand about failure and success. Failure doesn't have to be a bad thing, and it doesn't have to wreck our happiness. If we're using failure to learn, then really every failure is a success and a reason to celebrate in its own right. Courtney used all of what I'm now going to call her failure successes to become an accomplished cake maker. Take that, cilantro leaves and ice cubes. And that is when Courtney had an idea.
9 years ago, I said, oh, you know what? Maybe I'll share a few of the recipes I've started to like create on my own. That could be fun. And even then I was like, no, nobody needs another blog. Nobody needs another blog. So I kept talking myself out of it. I even remember having these like internal conversations. And I finally decided to do it when the thought came to me, all these years of consulting, I tested hundreds of television shows. And usually when I'd get into a focus group and I'd talk to them about their behavior and what shows are you watching? And wow, that's a lot. And they're like, yeah, these are my shows. I don't have time for anything else. Then I would show them a new program. And if they liked it, they were like, oh my gosh, I loved that. I'm going to make time for that one. And I'm like, wait, you just told me you didn't have time. And they're like, well, that's so good, I would make time. It happened every time, right? So in my head, yeah. I'm like, if I can create something that is worthwhile, that offers something to people that is good, I think maybe they would make time for it. That's like proven. And so Cake by Courtney was born.
It seems like the American dream. Woman bakes cake and creates a successful business. End of story, right? Well, no, not even close. The thing about failure and success is they can have very short shelf lives. Failures don't have to last, but neither do successes. Success is a matter of being willing to keep adapting and adjusting and, well, dreaming. And one of Courtney's dreams was to have her own TV show.
It's always been my dream. I remember in high school, my best friend Mandy and I would plan our TV show. Like we were going to have a TV show. That was dreams of that, you know? And when you get so close and I had other opportunities coming from the media consulting, I know the small percentage of shows that actually make it.
Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous. It's a miracle that any show gets
it. It's
made.
A miracle, right? But you get so close, your hopes get up, you know? And you're just like, no, this actually might work this time. But I had an opportunity to develop a television show. There was just really cool things. I won't even get into it because we could be here all day. I got very, very close. And it was with a company that I was very, very excited about. It got to the very last level. And basically the feedback I got was, she's too polished. And they're going to go in a different direction. So meaning I wouldn't fit the network, right? Too polished. And I remember my heart sinking. I remember thinking, wait, if you had just said, I'm polished, that would have been such a compliment.
Right.
But here you're saying I'm too polished, and this is something I've worked on and taken pride in and been proud of my whole career, and you're telling me that's what's wrong with me. I was devastated, too polished, devastated.
When you get devastating criticism or a door slammed on an opportunity, it's easy to hop on the hamster wheel of obsessing over everything that you said or did. Courtney was no exception.
I'm too polished. So, okay, I should have refilmed that a different way and I should have dressed differently or done my hair different. You start to like beat yourself up and get into the weeds and I almost start to make things up of what was wrong and how you could have fixed it. And I've learned that if I can just allow the road to end where it ends and just say, okay, I'm not happy with that. And I'm going to sit with it for a minute and that's okay. And I'm going to feel my feels. But then I'm like, okay, I can't dwell on it. I can't let it take over and consume me like the weeds in my garden, right? Because if I do, it just gets worse and worse.
When Courtney shared the story with me, I was really struck with this idea of being too polished, because being polished is usually the perfect quality to have. But situations are different, and so are people, and sometimes things just don't work out. Courtney's experience is proof of a truth that I've come to understand about failure, and that is a lot of it is none of your business. You'll never please everyone. Not everyone's going to like you, and it's okay because you're not for everyone. So make your business what you can control, and that will never be other people. This is how Courtney handled her disappointment.
That dream that I had had was gone, and I remember having a literal dream where I was running, and I am a runner, so it wasn't, I have running dreams all the time, but I remember I'm in this dream, and I'm running, and I'm feeling so strong, and I'm going, and all of a sudden, instead of a straight road, the road just ends, and there was nowhere to go. And I remember waking up being like, it's exactly how I feel right now. Like, what do I even do at this moment? And there's no clear direction and where to go. And those are some of the hardest moments where you can really find yourself getting stuck. And I'm like, all right, I just need a breather. I'm not walking away, but I just need to clear my mind. I need to do something else that I love, right? And give myself some space and some grace from what just happened. For me, that's running. That's another place that my mind just clears. You know, I can be outside or on a treadmill, and I honestly have my best conversations with God when I'm running, and I can kind of shift what I want to focus on or what I'm doing, or maybe it's just more time with my family and my kids, and then just kind of also trusting that when the time is right after those moments, something's going to come along.
When you're running full speed towards success and life suddenly decides to hit you with a 2x4 in the face, it will change your stride. And that's okay. While I wouldn't consider myself the world's biggest expert on running, I mean, I do run. I did read an article. I used to do it, whatever. I can tell you that a lot of runners purposefully change their stride to prevent injury and to increase stamina. So if your stride has changed due to failure, think of it as the perfect opportunity to reevaluate, check in with your values, check in with your loved ones, and give yourself grace because the race isn't over. That's what Courtney realized when her TV dream didn't work out.
That's where you make that choice. I can either stay here stuck, or I'm going to make a choice to just start doing and taking that next step, even if I don't really know what it is. As soon as you close the door to something or you make the decision, you're like, okay, well, I know the answer is going to be there. And when it's not,
when
you're kind of like, wait, what? Literal darkness in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't know what the next move is, but I'm going to take one step forward. I don't know what comes after that. And it can be so scary. Oh, that sounds so daunting. This is so big.
Yeah, it's too much.
Whoa, we're not making the 180. We're going like 1% change.
Yeah.
I made one cake and then I made another cake. Like we're
but
moving
don't underestimate
little.
The power of that.
Exactly. I don't sit and just wait, but I'm also like open to, all right, if that's what was not for me right now, what is for me? What is going to be next? Let me think about this. I'll often brainstorm, just write down lots of ideas. Okay, do I work on a cookbook? Yeah, maybe I do a cookbook. Okay, now I have ideas for the cookbook. Oh, the cookbook could look like this. Okay, a year after that happened, I published my own first cookbook and have done a second one since.
Ah, the power of a good brainstorm. I love that Courtney used the end of one dream as the opportunity to pivot towards a new one. But the key point here is that she didn't sit back and let failure ruin her momentum. Did it change her stride? Yes, but not her momentum. In fact, if you mapped Courtney's moves, you wouldn't see a line that just stopped in the middle of the page. Instead, that line that was once heading east shifted north. She took a step in the darkness and then another. And eventually, Courtney made a new dream come true, a lovely series of cookbooks that may absolutely wreck your self-control and your New Year's resolutions once you see them, but so worth it. Three words. Peach Biscoff cake. Now, Courtney's cookbooks have just added to the success of her brand, and that's all because she was willing to fail. She says that's one of the most important things we can learn about failure. Embrace it.
Embracing that failure and having my arms open to it, being ready for it, knowing it's going to happen, but also with that, knowing I took a chance on something and I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to learn something from it. There's the Theodore Roosevelt quote about getting in the ring. Like, I'd rather just be the one in the ring trying it out than on the outside. I have that one framed in my office. Because I remember there so many times I've taken leaps of faith and I'm just, this might not work out and I am scared to death. But I'm going to try. I'm going to get in the ring and just try. I still have those moments of doubt, but I'm like, I'm going to show up. Because I know that there's something I'm going to learn from these moments where I've been trying and I might fail, and that's okay too. Failure's okay. We learn from it, and there's so much growth in that. And without the fails I've had in my life, I wouldn't be the person I am today, and I wouldn't change that, you know? And that one's been a big lesson for me.
Once we see failure as the catalyst for change, then failure becomes an incredible and necessary step in our life's journey. I mean, do we really want to spend every day in the same rut with the same problems? Not me. But if I want to change, I have to get in the ring and risk failing, because that's where my greatest lessons will come from. Courtney's desire for change goes hand in hand with her acceptance of grace.
I think, like, we just have to learn to trust ourselves and God's plan a little bit more than we do. And that's where that grace comes in. We're like, okay, I am actually trying my best. I am hopefully going to make this right decision. We're going to see. And if it's not the right decision, I'm just going to trust that I can course correct. We always give grace to other people. And we don't do it enough for ourselves. And we're so hard on ourselves. But like getting to a point where we can just be kind to ourselves, like we would our girlfriends, our kids, our family, our husbands. And I know social media can be a reason for that. But I love social media for so many other reasons. There's so much good. But being aware of like where Satan tries to get us, right? Like he's so cunning, and the way he's going to try to get into our head and make us feel like we're not good enough. Like, give yourself grace. It's okay today. You did not make every meal homemade. It is okay. There are chips and a Clif Bar and a juice box and the kids' lunch. Great. They got food today. Awesome. You're killing it. You know? Embrace the failure and give yourself grace. Probably themes of my life that I've been trying to figure out.
Embrace the failure and give yourself grace. I can't think of a better mantra that will help us succeed in life. It's also important to extend that grace to others when they are struggling and feeling like they're failing. And newsflash, everyone is struggling.
It's okay to be scared. It's okay to feel like this is hard. There's no way around that. There is no way around
it. There's no way around it.
The hard. We are all
there's no hack.
Gonna have it. Right? I was just having that conversation with my Avery, who's 11, who is experiencing some hard stuff with her mental health at this young age.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's like, says to me, of course I'll cry. I'm sorry.
Mom, this is a crying show.
Why? Oh, good. Good that I'm in the right place. Why is this happening to me at such a young age?
Oh, she's so self-aware.
Like, it's been so hard. And I'm like, oh, baby girl, I wish it wasn't happening to you at this age either, but you're not alone. Everyone around you is going through something hard or a change or a challenge or making decisions, and we're not aware of it. And doesn't it give you kind of the lens now to look at the people around you, even your friends that you think are like living life the best at 11 years old, to just think, wow, they might have something hard right now. Because I have something hard and I didn't expect it. I didn't have this hard 6 months ago, but I have this hard right now. And I said, Avery, no one is exempt from it.
We all have hard and we all feel like failures from time to time. So it's a great reminder to extend our arms to each other instead of extending judgment. And a little encouragement might just be the thing someone needs to take the next step on their journey. There's one more idea regarding success that Courtney shared that I think is really important, and it has nothing to do with moving forward. In fact, it has everything to do with looking backward.
If I had not done the cake journey, I wouldn't have had that opportunity to develop. It's easy to connect the dots behind you. You can't connect the dots ahead of you, but you can behind you. And so I think that's one of the coolest things about getting older, right? We kind of fight it for so long, but I'm like, man, I am learning so much about my story the older I get and understanding it so much better. And it's so beautiful and it's so cool how God works, how he has this masterpiece ready for us if we're just like willing to try, willing to listen, willing to work, willing to change.
Connect the dots behind you. While taking steps towards our goal and dreams is important, it's just as important to take a moment to reflect on where we've come from. There are blessings and miracles that have dotted our paths that we can only see in our rearview mirrors. And not only that, but what may have seemed like a failure in the moment may just look a lot like a win in retrospect. Speaking of looking into the past, do you remember the birthday cake disaster I told you about at the beginning of the episode? Well, let me tell you how it turned out. As I looked at my cake with a corner chunk missing, as if someone had taken a bite out of it, I had an idea. I gathered some of Miles' toy animals and grouped them together on the cake around the gaping bite, as if the mini lion, hippo, alligator, zebra, and antelope had been or were in the process of grazing on the cake. It became an accidental zoo animal-themed cake. Was it what I intended it to look like? No. Was I disappointed? Yeah. Did it feel like a fail in the moment? Oh yeah, yeah it did. But here's the thing. When the guests arrived and saw the cake, they didn't judge me or raise their eyebrows at my lack of skill. In fact, my unique cake was a big hit. And most importantly, Miles thought it was hilarious. And as I look back on the moment where I thought things didn't line up, I realized those dots connected into exactly what I wanted, a joyful day for my little one. And I wouldn't change it for the world. Sometimes a little pivoting, a little grace, and a little reflection can make any failure look like a reason to celebrate. I want to thank Courtney Rich for coming on our show to help us celebrate our successes and our failures. I appreciate her sharing her story with us and reminding us failure is an opportunity to succeed, so we need to embrace it. That means realizing that happiness and failure aren't mutually exclusive. It means remembering that both success and failure can have short shelf lives. It's realizing that a lot of failure is none of your business, so don't worry about what's out of your control. It's taking a breather when things don't work out, and then having the courage to take the next step in life, even if that's just sitting down and brainstorming. It's being willing to get in the ring and try while giving yourself the grace you need when you lose the round. It's knowing that life is hard for everyone right now, but when we look backwards, we may just be able to connect the dots that have been leading us to an incredible destiny all along. And if that isn't a recipe for success, then I don't know what is.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio. This episode was produced by Erica Price with help from Becca Hurley, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Kip Merrill. A special thanks to our guest, Courtney Rich. You can find Courtney on Instagram at CakeByCourtney or on her website, cakebycourtney.com. Please like and subscribe right here so you can catch new episodes of The Lisa Show and to look for information on how to subscribe to our newsletter on social media. You can also find the new and improved Council of Moms on your favorite platform. Thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
Hey, since you're here, I want to tell you about a new podcast that I know you're going to love. It's called Uncomfy, Sticking with Moments That Challenge Us. In such a polarized world, I feel sometimes stuck or even trapped, like I'm not allowed to share my beliefs or what I really think, or vice versa. Maybe someone tries to share their thoughts with me and I'm the one who gets defensive. Ugh, I don't know. That's where Uncomfy comes in. Uncomfy believes that open, curious conversations are the direct antidote for division. And in those difficult moments where our worldview feels compromised, Uncomfy asks us to take a good look at our discomfort and stick with it. That way, we can actually communicate, empathize with others, and most importantly, strengthen our relationships as humans. Uncomfy shares these empowering stories, and you can hear mine in the first episode, so that we can see the good in getting a little bit uncomfortable. Check out Uncomfy, Sticking with the Moments That Challenge Us. You can listen to it or watch it on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.